have so enjoyed the fellowship, the food. I think we ought to give Candy a hand. All right. Yeah. I kind of have a little inkling she might do this every year. Oh, she didn't say anything to that, huh? I have so enjoyed today and what everyone has said. Dr. Phil's a hard act to follow. I love what Mike said. He speaks my heart, I'll say that. And Tom Carter, so appreciated what you said. Awesome, awesome, awesome. This has been a joyous conference. It's been awesome. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I like the most about it is just the liberty and the freedom. But you could tell that everyone was enjoying. We didn't have an agenda.
No agenda.
No plan. I thought I had a little agenda last night, and the Lord took care of that and changed that. But I'm glad He did. And, you know, I just, I thank the Lord for who He is. As us. And I want to just speak a few minutes. I'm not going to hold you. I know some of you are heading home yet tonight. And
No?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the book of Revelation. She called this conference Revelation, Revolution. And of course, some of you know I wrote a book a number of years ago, about 7, 8 years ago, called Revelation, Revolution. And all about the finished work of Calvary, and looked at pictures in the scriptures concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I did a series of teachings in the book of Revelation about 9 years ago, I guess it was. I think we ended up with 60-some sessions on the book of Revelation. And then I just redid it just in the last few months and just saw some real fresh truths from the book of Revelation. And now, guess what? Like I said the other night, you know, you can minister something and the next day see it completely different, you know. And I'm beginning to see even Revelation now a little bit differently than the way I taught it, even though that was great in the way that the Lord brought it forth. But I just want to say a few things about the book of Revelation. I'm going to read a little bit in chapter 20 if you want to follow. But the book of Revelation is not the revelation of bugs as big as Volkswagens. Hello? It's not Scud missiles. It's not about Russia and Israel in a battle. Battle of Armageddon is something that happens here when we try to fight the truth that God is releasing within us. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ in His person and work, and also in us and as us. It's the unveiling. Apocalypse, it's the uncovering of the revelation of Christ, who He is, in, through, and as a people. It says that the angel sent and signified it unto the Apostle John. And that word signify, we know, just simply means sign and symbol. You can't read anything in the book of Revelation and interpret it literally. Nothing. It's written in sign and symbol. It's all symbolic, and if we'll just let the Word of God interpret the Word of God, we can't go wrong. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. You'll see all the symbols, symbolisms, and all of the signs and everything there. And it says there that the Apostle John, you know, he was boiled in oil, actually, and then he was shipped out to this place called the Isle of Patmos. And they thought he was going to die out there on this Isle of Patmos, and instead he gets a revelation of his death that happened at the cross of Calvary. They thought he was going to physically die, but instead he gets a spiritual revelation of what we find in the book of Revelation. It's an awesome book. People think it's all about, you know, hell and high water and a 7-year tribulation and Christ coming back on a white horse, tooting a golden trumpet, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And we've had a lot of squirrely ideas eschatologically about the book of Revelation. You know, when you get into chapters 2 and 3, it talks about the 7 churches there. And did you ever notice that before he pointed out the issues that 6 of the churches had, he said something about himself? Because, you see, the only way that those issues could be swallowed up would be through the revelation of Christ. through the revelation of what he did, the cross of Calvary and the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the revelation of who he was as them, in them, and as them. Then you get into chapter 15, and it talks about the seven last plagues. And, oh, boy, that's scary stuff, you know, to some people, not to us. It says in Revelation chapter 15 that the seven vials that you see in chapter 16, it says they're great and wondrous and marvelous. And so when you study those seven plagues, every one of them, as a matter of fact, the word vial is used one time in the Old Testament, Septuagint of the Greek, and it's when it's talking about the chalice that was on the table of showbread that had the wine in it. And the table of showbread was where the priest would come morning and evening and partake of the bread and the wine, representing the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, all of those vials there in chapter 16 represent an aspect or a revelation of what Jesus Christ accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means to us. And so it's all good news, none of it. From chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22, there's nothing scary there. You know, it says, blessed is he in chapter 1 that reads and understands and hears the words. They're blessed. They're not made fearful. That's crazy. That is crazy, right? They're blessed. So we're blessed to understand a book that man, human, has made about something that was going to come in our future, and has scared people to death with it, and has taught in a literal way that absolutely none of it should be taught in any literal way. They make a lot of money selling their books about the book of Revelation. For example, you see the word lamb in the book of Revelation. That's not talking about a barnyard creature that goes bah. It's talking about the lamb that was slain. When you read about the beasts that come out of the sea in Revelation chapter 13, that's not some weird prehistoric reptile from Jurassic Park. It's not talking about any of that. When you read about the 1,260 days, that's not talking about 1,260 days, literal, or 24-hour time-space days. It's not talking about that. When it talks about the woman in Revelation chapter 12 that has the crown of 12 stars, it's talking about awareness of Christ as her and the 12 redemptive aspects of the finished work of Calvary. It's not talking about a literal woman that is having a baby. It's talking about a people that understand who he is as them, birthing fruit that remains. Birthing Christ, walking in the conscious awareness of their oneness. That's what it's talking about. And it's the good news of the gospel. Nothing bad in it, nothing scary in it whatsoever, if you really, really understand it. Now, I just want to read a few verses in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, and I'd like to talk a little bit tonight just about the 1,000-year, people call it the millennium. The 1,000 years represents a people. 1,000 is symbolic of glory. It's symbolic of the day of the Lord. It says that John in chapter 1 was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was not Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or any day of the week. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, or the day of the Lord. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, a day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. We can read on where it talks about the Lord is the day. He is the light. And how many know that the sun or light speaks of the day? But it also says you and I are the day. As we understand our oneness that we have in him, we experience being the day of the Lord in the earth. But let me just read there in chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel. Now, this angel is not some wing baby. Hello? It's not some fat baby with wings. The angel is the message. Hello? It's a messenger with a message. And notice where the message comes from. It says, coming down from heaven. And where's heaven? Not 50 million light years away. Heaven is the realm of spirit, including the spirit in us. So it's talking about a message that is sounded on the inside of a people that is coming forth, amen, being spoken out of the consciousness that understands the oneness that they have in and as him. And then it goes on and it says, this message is coming out of the realm of spirit, having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, how many know that a key is something you lock or unlock? And has the key, this message reveals the key of the bottomless pit. Now, there's different ways I could say that, but I believe that we are having unlocked within us the fact that being a human, being finite, being limited, has no foundation whatsoever. We're not human, we're not finite, we're not limited. When Jesus went to the cross, he knocked the foundation plumb out of Adam, out of being a human, out of being finite, and a people are receiving this revelation from the inside. And by the way, you can have all the best teachers in the world teach you, and until you hear it on the inside by the Spirit, this is something, what we're ministering here is not something that can really be taught. It's something that needs to be caught. We need to have an inner vision of this. In fact, you can't get this from man anyhow. I mean, they'll lock you up for saying some of the things that we say. I mean, this is totally contrary to the way that a human mind would think. So the foundation has been plumb knocked out from under us thinking that we're human or we're finite or we're limited or we're corruptible or we're mortal. He removed the foundation. All of that is a bottomless pit. Has no foundation whatsoever. And then notice what he goes on to say, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now we know that a chain has links, right? Different links to it. And I believe the links here represent the links, the 12 redemptive aspects of the finished work of Calvary. You know, Paul talked in the book of Romans about his doctrine of truth. One translation says system of truth. So there's a systematic way of teaching this so that people can be gripped by it and come to understand it. And so this redemptive chain is the thing that tied up everything that had to do with Adam and kicked the foundation underneath from all that Adam was and all that we thought we were. And then notice he goes on to say in verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark. And you know, people have this idea that, you know, there's coming a day where they're going to have a literal inscription of 666 written in the forehead. And let me just tell you what 666 is. Six is the number of man. 600 is the number of warfare. Hello. 66 is the number of just thinking carnally, having a carnal awareness. And we have many, many people in religion today that all they think about is demons and devils and binding and loosing and decreeing and declaring and affirming and resisting and denying. I said that pretty good, didn't I? That's what their whole religion is based upon that. And that's what it is, just simply religion. They have 666. They're fighting. They're not at peace. They're not understanding the work is finished. They're not understanding that it says in the book of Isaiah, speak comfortably unto Jerusalem and tell her that her warfare is accomplished. There's nothing to fight, folks. There's nothing to battle. There's simply something to realize. There's simply something to walk in the awareness of. Then he goes on to say, verse 4, I saw thrones, they sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or their consciousness or in their hands. How many know that the hand speaks of what we do? Forehead speaks of an awareness, a consciousness, but the hands speak of what we do. See, this that we're involved in has nothing to do with what we do. It has to do with who we be. See, we don't do to be, we be to do. Or because we be, we do. Otherwise, what we do is a bunch of do-do, you see. So it's not about doing, it's about being, and then we do out of the being, out of that state of being. Not trying to get more righteous by our doing, but because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because He's my wisdom, He's my redemption, He's my righteousness, then out of that I just naturally do what I do. By the Spirit and by the grace of God. Now listen to this. And they lived, the end of verse 4, they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now really, that last phrase there in verse 5, this is the first resurrection, should really have been put at the end of verse 4. Some of your best commentaries will have that last sentence in verse 5 at the end of verse 4, where it talks about a people that live and they reign with Christ 1,000 years. One of the meanings, again, 1,000 is glory. Another meaning is the day of the Lord. A day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. So it's experiencing the day of the Lord. What is that? What does it mean to experience this 1,000-year reign? Now remember, it's symbolic. It's not literal. What does it mean to experience the 1,000-year reign? It means we're experiencing, we know that we are the glory of God on the earth. And it means that we are resting in the day of the Lord, and we're not fighting, we're not struggling, we're just simply walking in the awareness of our oneness in Him, resting in what is already done and who He is in us and as us. Now, this word is very interesting, the last part there of verse